progress first. When we forget God, we can end up greedy, thinking life is unfair, and generally being cross. When we forget God, things break down. That happens in our individual lives. We recognize it when we mess up, we sin. But it also happens in the lives of our nations, when a whole group of people forget God and relationships break down. Today is Remembrance Sunday, and in a little while, we'll be thinking more about this day in detail. But until then, let's try to remember that verse that we've read this morning. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Back to the positions. About remembering, and the bit of the verse is, be careful you do not forget the Lord your God, from Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. I was thinking about this Sunday, and particularly the phrase that we often hear associated with Remembrance Day events or Remembrance Sunday events, and it's the phrase, lest we forget. And I wondered where that phrase came from, so I had to look it up a little bit. And in 1897, so it says, Rudyard Kipling, him who wrote poems and stories, not the cakes, wrote a poem called Recessional. And here's a little section from that poem. It says, God of our fathers, known of old, Lord of our flung battle line, beneath whose awful hands we hold dominion over palm and pine, Lord of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. Kipling there was warning us of the dangers of failing to remember. And this phrase, lest we forget, is often used at Remembrance Day services and events. Today is known as Remembrance Sunday. And in churches throughout our land, we'll stop to remember those who gave so much for us in two world wars and in other conflicts since. Here's a few quick questions about various wars. And if you're not sure of the answer, perhaps you want to consult with the person beside you and we'll see how we get on. So question one, how long was the shortest war on record? Okay, you maybe want to consult before you give an answer out to me here, but how long was the shortest war on record? 32 days. Okay, anyone venture to give me an answer?
Simon says too long.
Too long? I can't read that answer. Okay, the shortest war on record took place in 1896 when Zanzibar surrendered to Britain after 38 minutes. So, probably was too long if you were in the battle there, but okay. Second, another question. How long was the Hundred Years' War? Might want to consult before you give your answer there. Oh, that's what I thought. Oh, apparently not. Anyone? Oh, sorry, Chris.
It officially started in 1337. People debate when it ends. Some people say 1453. Other people say 1460.
Thank you, Chris. Who needs a... Yeah, apparently it was, according to what I found, it was between England and France and, yeah, there are various records, but 116 years was one estimate there. Third and final. How many people are in the Icelandic army? There's a fairly random country to go for, but how many people are in the Icelandic army? Okay, we have someone here.
Zero, and they only have 500 police officers.
Zero, and a little bit of extra information there from Abigail, they only have 500 police officers. It has no military expenditure because it has no military. If Donald Trump had known that, he might have offered to buy Iceland rather than Greenland, but there we go. Be careful that you do not forget. At 11 a.m. today, we're going to be joining with churches throughout our land to remember those who gave their lives in conflict. will also happen tomorrow. Today's the 10th, tomorrow's the 11th, as people stop at 11 a.m. to remember their fallen, reminding ourselves of the first of the armistice, which took place 101 years ago, but of the Remembrance Day, which first started in 1919. World War I came to end at 11 a.m. on the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918. I'm hesitating to myself about this clip. I think you've approved it. I think we'll go that you've approved it rather than me. Well, that should be okay. The BBC TV series Blackadder was something that we watched growing up. And it moved through the ages and eventually came to the front lines of World War I. So we're going to see a short clip just now that I think captured the sense of pointlessness, to be honest, about life and the loss of life on the Western Front during World War I.
Don't forget your stick, Lieutenant.
Right there, sir. Wouldn't want to face a machine gun without this.
Listen. Our guns have stopped. You don't think...
Maybe the war's over. Maybe it's peace.
Oh, hurrah! The big knobs have got round the table and yanked the iron out of the fire.
Thank God. We lived through it. The Great War, 1914 to 1917.
Hip, hip, hooray!
I'm afraid not. The guns have stopped because we're about to attack. Not even our generals are mad enough to shell their own men. They think it's far more sporting to let the Germans do it.
So we are, in fact, going over. This is, as they say, it.
I'm afraid so. Unless I can think of something very quickly.
Company, one, pace forward.
Oh, there's a nasty splinter on that ladder, sir. A bloke could hurt himself on that.
Stand ready.
I have a plan, sir.
Really, Borick? A cunning and subtle one?
Yes, sir.
As cunning as a fox who's just been appointed Professor of Cunning at Oxford University?
Yes, sir.
On the signal, company will advance.
Well, I'm afraid it'll have to wait. Whatever it was, I'm sure it was better than my plan to get out of this by pretending to be mad. I mean, who would have noticed another madman around here? Good luck, everyone.
World War I took place between 1914 and 1918, and during the conflict, over 16 million people died. On the 11th of November 1918, the last day of the war, 2,738 people died. This included Frenchman Augustin Trebuchon, who was killed at 10:45 a.m. on his way to tell fellow soldiers that hot soup would be served at 11 a.m. The last person killed during World War I, again, reports vary as to who exactly it was, but one report suggests it was American Henry Gunter, who, receiving the news that his hoped-for promotion was not to be, charged at a group of rather surprised Germans who shot him 60 seconds before 11 o'clock. World War I was followed by World War II, where between 70 to 85 million people died, or about 3% of the world population at that time. What are we doing then? When we come together on Remembrance Sunday or Remembrance Day. From a human point of view, I guess we're trying to learn from the failures of the past. We hope that as a society, as a species, that we are getting better, that we've learned the terrible consequences of war and are more prepared to use peaceful means. History, though, suggests that we've got an awful lot more learning to do. What about then us as Christians? What are we remembering on Remembrance Sunday? Well, I guess we're doing several things. We are, of course, remembering along with the rest of our nation those who gave their life so we could have the freedoms we enjoy today. But I hope, too, we're remembering some of the words and actions of Jesus. In John 15, verse 13, Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, that he'll lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." On Remembrance Sunday, we do remember the sacrifices made by others, but it's also right for us as Christians to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And as we reflect on the awful impact of wars in the past as well as those in the present, we also remember our need for peace. And Jesus, through his death and resurrection, bought us peace between God and us. And in doing so, he said, "My command is this, that you love each other as I have loved you." At services that take place to commemorate Remembrance Sunday and Remembrance Day, the hymn, "I Vow to Thee My Country," is often played. This hymn was created in 1921 when a poem written by a diplomat, I think he was, Sir Cecil Spring, was set to music by Gustav Holst. The poem originally had the title "Ubus Dei," or "City of God," or "The Two Fatherlands." The poem describes how a Christian owes their loyalties both to their homeland and to the heavenly kingdom. We may agree or disagree with the thoughts. It contains the words, "And there is a country I've heard of long ago, most dear to them that love her, most great to those that know. We may not count her armies, we may not see her king. Her fortress is a faithful heart, her pride is suffering. And soul by soul and silently, her shining bounds increase." Then quoting Proverbs 3:17, "And her ways are ways of gentleness, and all her paths are peace." Well, today at the side, we've got some crosses. And if you go through this door here, you'll see we've got one or two out in the garden. The idea now is that we're going to use the next little bit as a space of prayer as we come up to the silence that we'll all be back in together for at 11 o'clock. We're going to use this as a place of prayer to share with God our prayers about Remembrance Day. Perhaps our prayers might focus on areas of the world where there is not peace, where there is conflict and disharmony. It might be a place close to us. It might be a place we've heard of on the news. We might be prayers of gratitude for those who have given their lives for the freedoms we enjoy today. It might be a prayer specifically to God. There are specific Remembrance Day crosses there, which you can just use. You can just put out and have a silent prayer and come back in. Or there are blank crosses, which you can use some of the pens to put your own prayer on and then put it out there. If it gets a bit crowded at that door, don't worry, you can also go out the other door there. It is muddy on the grass. You might not choose to do that. You can just pop it on the side there. But if you'd like to do that, you're very welcome to. Or you can just sit and use the next few minutes as a quiet space for prayer. We have just about 6 or 7 minutes to do that. Then we'll all gather back together and mark the silence together as a church. So are we happy to do that? As we'll do this, we'll play some music in the background, and then we'll call you back together so we don't miss that together. They're on the sideboard there.